Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Who Knew with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and our first guest is a regular on the show, also the host of the Good Tucker program on SBS. It's Seren Jaimana.
It is a program, and that's me, Seren Jaimana. Hello.
I'm sure Connor will edit out the long pause I did there when I couldn't. I don't know what I was pausing for, but the sentence I was reading didn't make sense. Anyway. It's so good to have a long-term player on the show because we've got a couple of first-timers on. Now, our second guest this week is from Australia's Got Talent, and thank God you're here. It's He Huang.
Hello, everyone. My name is He Huang. I'm here. Yay!
And our third and final guest is an Augie Award-winning writer and performer whose recent writing credits include The Batuta Advocate. It's Penny Greenhalgh.
Hello. Ooh. It's almost correct.
I'm like very good friends with Seren, and I've only recently started saying his name right. So just gotta give me 10 years.
You do have a full complement of difficult names today, I think. Penny Greenhalgh, Seren Jaimana, and Good Tucker, the program. All hard to say.
Whereas I nailed He Huang, right?
You did nail He Huang.
Yeah, thank you.
That's great.
That was the easy one.
Yeah.
All right. So, the way this show works is I ask a relatively obscure trivia question. Our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one, and they have to guess which one is correct. And the first question comes from listener Kayla Hodquitz from Lemoyne in Maine. And Kayla's question is, what does thornback mean? What does thornback mean? While you're writing your answers, I'll explain to the listeners how the scoring works. So you get a point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestants, and another point if you correctly guess the answer. By the way, I'm also playing as the house, and I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question, and I get a point for each one of those that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 3 points per round. It seems fair, but the probability actually favors me, the house, and the house always wins. So if you've listened to previous episodes, you'll know that is rarely even the case. And for that reason, anyway, contestants now get triple points in the final round. Our questions do come from our great Patreon supporters. If you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogonpod, which is linked in the show notes. All right, the answers are in for question number one. What does thornback mean? Flowers having sex without condoms. A colourful Amazonian bird whose head plumage is so long that's so long and full that it extends down its whole body, making it look like it has back spikes.
What? That's so elaborate.
When your Valentine breaks up with you on February 15th and you ask for them to return the roses you got for them, but as they are going to hand them to you, they stumble and plunge a thorn into your back.
Wow.
I thought that last one was elaborate, Penny. A breed of hunting dog. A word used in the 17th century to refer to an unmarried woman over the age of 25. Or actually it's pronounced thornback. This is a Marvel comic book term bad guys use after getting pummeled by the God of Thunder. Gone to thornback. So just very quickly, you've got rough riding flowers, is that what you say? Raw dogging flowers. Raw dogging flowers, thank you. I was trying to make it more efficient, and I used so many more words to say it. Colourful Amazonian bird, Valentine breaking up with you, tripping and plunging thorns into their hand, or into your back. Breed of hunting dog, the 17th century term for an unmarried woman, or a Marvel comic phrase. Do you want to have first crack here, Seren?
Yeah, I think maybe by process of elimination and how ridiculous they all are, I'm going to go with the 17th century unmarried woman.
Okay, locking that in for Saran. What do you think, Penny?
I agree.
Consensus.
Consensus.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, oh you as God. Well, huh?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, all agree. All right, well, here's who wrote the answers. Flowers having sex without condoms, that was her.
Yeah. Very good. It's really good.
That's the only thing I can think about.
That's all I'm going to think about now.
Yeah.
A colourful Amazonian bird, that was Kayla, aka the house. The Valentine getting thorns in their back, that was Saran. Breed of hunting dog, that was Penny. Did you put that in the ridiculous category?
Yeah. It seems far too benign for a hunting dog.
Marvel comic book terminology, that was the house. I mean, the correct answer was 17th century word to refer to an unmarried woman over the age of 25.
Wow.
Thorn back.
Good to know. I added to my new joke. Wow.
That's good. I always thought that spinster sucked.
Yeah.
But Thornback is so much
that's
worse.
Tougher.
Yeah.
Don't reckon it's, yeah. It sounds kind of badass, though.
Why? Thornback?
Yeah. I'm a Thornback. You wouldn't mess with a Thornback.
Yeah, fuck with a Thornback.
But I don't think they meant it as a badass kind of thing.
No. Well, why would it be bad to have a Thornback if you're an unmarried woman? Like, what does that mean?
Well, even? Is it something to do with, like, that's the reason that you've made it this far? People trying to hug you and they...
Are they hugging you from behind?
Yeah.
Is that how they hug in the 17th
century?
You reach
around.
You reach around.
You do reach around hugs.
In a hug, yeah. Your arms are always...
Oh, so they're spiky, they spike your hands if you...
Yeah, you're like, you're trying to embrace someone. You're like, I love you. Ah!
Yeah, wow. Right.
It's actually... I think it was... I'll explain it while you're right in the next one, but it's... Let me just see quickly.
Well, what did it do, though? Like, to make people think they're bad?
It's named after some sort of sea creature. That is
a sea creature. Oh,
famously sexy.
Well, I think it's I think they're saying it's unsexy. You're so old and unmarried. No one wants to touch you. You're a Thornback.
Nah, they got it all wrong.
25.
The older, the hotter.
Isn't it? Well, I think we know that now, but in the 17th century, the science wasn't in yet.
No, that's right.
But now they know. The older, the hotter. And I've said that my whole life.
The sea-based beast.
Shout out to all the grandmas. Yay.
Now you could write an Oscar-winning movie about a Thornback.
Yeah.
Thornback.
What was that?
Who would you get to play the 25-year-old Thornback?
Thornback on road.
25? I don't know if I know a 25-year-old.
No, yeah.
Sydney Sweeney?
She's
going
to be older than...
Oh, yeah. It's at least
Zendaya?
25.
At least 25.
Zendaya. I'd get Zendaya in.
She's hot.
Mm. She's a hot 25-year-old.
No.
Okay. So that's a bit weird, but okay.
Yeah, she
all right. So that means after one round, all contestants, apart from the house, are on 1 point. Here's question number 2. This one comes from Jason Harrison from Leeds in the UK. And the question is, speaking of sea creatures, which of these is a real species of fish? So you've just got to name... Make up a species of fish.
Okay.
You don't have to describe, just give us the name.
Oh. Mm?
Just a made-up fish.
Made-up fish?
Yeah, just come up with a weird name for a fish.
Okay.
And while you're writing your answers, here's some more info on Thornbacks. I was reading on the University of Maryland, Baltimore County's website, Amy Froedi, or Freud, wrote in 2019... In a recent interview with Vogue, actress Emma Watson opened up about being a single 30-year-old woman. Instead of calling herself single, however, she used the word self-partnered. I've studied and written about the history of single women, and this is the first time I'm aware of self-partnered being used. We'll see if it catches on, but if it does, it will join an ever-growing list of words used to describe single women of a certain age. Women who were once called spinsters eventually started being called old maids. But in 17th century New England, there were also words like thornback, a sea skate covered with thorny spines, which was used to describe single women older than 25.
Okay. So are they saying their faces look like fish or something like that?
I'm not sure.
A skate.
Sea skate.
Is that that's a type of fish?
Yeah, I guess so. I'd never heard of it. But it's, it does feel like a funny term. A spinster, is that because they...
yarn? Something
spun yarn?
Yeah, I think so.
Or are they great storytellers? All right, answering for question 2. Which of these are real species of fish? Northern hogsucker. West Yorkshire bubblefish. A thornback. Squirty bottom ulcer. Trout mouth flat bass. Or French blowjob.
Can you repeat it?
Yeah. Just looking up, thornback is a ray. So
yeah, it is a ray.
It's a ray. All right, here's your options again. Northern hog sucker, West Yorkshire bubblefish, thornback, squirty bottom ulcer, trout mouth flat bass, or French blowjob. Maybe it's your turn first, Penny. What do you think?
I fully tuned out when you just said those things. I'm so sorry. There's so many details. I like the Yorkshire one. The Yorkshire.
West Yorkshire bubblefish?
Yeah, I'll go for that one.
Because it's the only one you remember?
Yes.
I can give you the others if you like.
No. It's illegal.
What do you think, huh?
The one was the blast. What is a blaster or blast mask?
Squirty bottom ulcer?
No. I think it's right after the Yorkshire one.
Oh, thornback.
No, after that?
That's squirty bottom ulcer, then trout mouth flat bass?
Yeah, that one.
Trout mouth flat bass.
Sounds legit to me.
Yeah. That leaves you, Soren.
Maybe, just for a point of difference, the ulcer.
Squirty bottom ulcer.
Squirty bottom ulcer. Feels like that kind of answer someone would be like, hey, this is interesting. Yeah. I'll send this in.
Yeah, that's right. That's part of the game is figuring out what's an answer where someone has gone, hey, I should send that into Matt's stupid show.
Yeah.
All right, here's her at the answers. A French blowjob. That was her.
That's so good.
I loved it.
So good. Made me laugh so much. Of course. Fuck, I wish it was real.
Yeah, I know.
Would love to see a French blowjob in the wild.
Thornback, that was Saran.
Is a French blowjob a saltwater fish? Or is it...
It's fishy for sure.
It's cheese based.
Trout mouth flat bass. Who went for that? That was the house, I'm afraid.
Oh.
As was the West Yorkshire bubblefish, which James, the question writer, wrote that one. Saran went for the squirty bottom ulcer. That was Penny.
Yeah. Oh.
Meaning the correct answer was actually the northern hog sucker.
Wow. You said that first.
Yeah.
Wow.
The order. You never know when the real one's going to come out.
It's crazy when you say it first and it's the answer. That's wild. You really got me with that. I thought for sure that's not one.
Oh, wow.
They're not great looking things.
Yeah, it's cute, but okay. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's remarkably, tiny one. It could be called a French blowjob.
So it's a hog sucker?
Yeah.
It's a hog sucker.
Somehow a French blowjob is a way classier sounding name.
I mean, it's French.
Hog sucker, though, yeah. That's
it's
flattering.
It's native to United States and Canada. It's not French.
Yeah, with a name like hog sucker.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It sounds
right?
Like you put it in a sandwich.
So that hoagie, means...
Hoagie hog sucker.
Oh, it looks so gross.
Mm. 1 point for Penny and 2 points for the house, meaning after two rounds, we've got her on one, Saran on one, and Penny and the house out in front on 2 points apiece. The next one was written by Lewis Folstone from Leeds. That's two in a row from Leeds. Leeds in the UK.
Leeds people.
And the question is, in the world of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, who is Jenica? In the world of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, who is Jenica? There's a character called Jenica, apparently.
Okay.
In the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles universe.
Jenica.
So I guess you just got to give us a sentence or something, description of who the character is or whatever.
Is it like a personality or job description?
You can take it however you like.
Okay, just whatever I like.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give you any notes because so far you've come up with condomless boning flowers and French blowjob fish.
More about my voice.
Mm. While you're writing your answers, I'll let the audience know a bit more about northern hog suckers. According to the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus, I guess, the northern hog sucker is a seldom seen bottom dwelling species that prefers clear, fast flowing water in small streams and rivers. Aside from a few red horse species with flame red fins, most sucker species are plainly colored. However, the northern hog sucker has has dark-colored barring across its back that acts as a highly effective camouflage as it rests on shallow gravel beds or on rocks. One story in the scientific literature comments that the northern hogsucker loves to bask in the sun, lying atop some large rock or in a shallow riffle. What a life. Colloquial names for this small species include hognose sucker, big-headed sucker, hammerhead sucker, crawler bottom, hog mullet, hog molly, and the writer's personal favourite, pugamoo. I mean,
the same thing happened. I just tuned.
No,
the
you
ride
weren't.
Out.
You were meant to in this case. I wasn't.
Hogamoo is great, though.
Yeah,
hogamoo. That's a fish, is it?
They're all alternative names for the hog sucker.
Hogamoo.
Pugamoo.
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 How do people come up with this stuff?
What about crawler bottom? And that's it.
Crawler bottom.
Yeah, that feels like that's what it's doing, but that can't be its name.
Crawler bottom.
Crawler bottom.
Here, have a look at that crawler bottom.
Hey, we're going to go get it.
Gotta go get
some crawler bottom.
Hey, don't come back. You don't got no crawler bottom.
You feel pulling that neck, get them that crawler bottom. Hey, we got crawler bottom. We got hog molly. We got hog molly.
Bottom, what do you call them? Pugamoo.
Pugamoo.
Yeah, cook up that pugamoo.
We've been slow cooking that pugamoo.
Pugamoo and beans.
Slow cooking that
my
pugamoo.
My favorite.
My beans on the side. Maybe
Mama
some
been cooking up there.
Grits. And grits on the side of that pugamoo. I don't even know who I'm offending now. All right, answering for question number 3. In the world of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, who is Jenica?
Jenica.
Splinter's robotic wife made after the turtles moved out. A portmanteau of Jennifer and Mecca.
Wow. That is such an elaborate answer.
Yeah. Who's a fan of that?
Yeah.
What
does Mecca mean?
I think it's a makeup shop, isn't it?
Mecca? Like the makeup?
Mecca Cosmetica.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, wow. It's named after, you
I'm
know,
guessing
the,
it means
the
a robot
city.
Thing, though.
It's that sacred city.
Oh.
Oh, maybe I'm saying it wrong. It's M-E-C-H-A.
Oh, yeah,
whereas
no idea.
Whereas I think the city's M-E-C-C-A.
Or yeah.
Mm. And the makeup.
All right, well, that one poses many questions as it's answered. Option 2, a former Foot Clan soldier who had a blood transfusion from Leonardo and mutated into a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle themselves, then joined the Turtles and fell in love with Casey Jones.
I don't know. What is that?
Was there a fifth turtle at any point?
Well, at this point.
Okay.
Like if that's might the correct been. Answer. Yeah.
I don't know any of these names.
No idea.
This is so deep.
Casey Jones. I know Foot Clan, because I grew up with it a little bit. The Foot Clan were like the Shredder's army. Shredder was the main. He was sort of like the Darth Vader guy. And then the Foot Clan were like, why am I putting it into Star Wars terms? Does that help you at all?
Not at all.
And then
The Foot Clan were sort of like
like the plebs of the band.
Yeah, they were sort of like the stormtroopers, I guess.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, this wouldn't have helped me 2 years ago. Yeah. So I don't. Anyway, and then Casey Jones is like a human sidekick of them whose weapon of choice is a hockey stick.
Okay.
And he wears like a hockey mask.
Okay. There is no direct equivalent from the Star Wars.
I think that's Han Solo.
Okay.
Okay.
Then you've got the pizza delivery guy.
Oh, what's a gender neutral name? Sounds like it's a she.
Yeah, it sounds she-esque.
Yeah.
Well, guy, maybe in this case, is gender neutral as well.
Mm-hmm. Jenica. Maybe it's Swedish.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe.
Oh, yeah, it could be Jenica.
Jenica.
Jenica,
yeah.
A crazy lady PI nobody hired who wants to put all the Ninja Turtles in jail.
Okay, sounds like Jenica do.
She is the mother of one of the Ninja Turtles. And her job is a seamstress who makes those blindfolds for her SM groupie, but her son stumbles into it and takes it and starts to use it. Or a mutant supermodel, super criminal, super couple made up of beautiful mutant giraffes, Jenny Longlegs and Mo Necker.
Oh my God, I love that answer.
Jenny Longlegs.
Jenny Longlegs.
Wow.
That's the best name for a giraffe I've ever heard.
So you've got Splinter's robotic wife, the Foot Clan soldier who morphs into a turtle who ends up falling in love with Casey Jones. You got the pizza delivery guy, the crazy lady PI nobody hired, who's after the turtles. Got the mother of one of the Ninja Turtles, who's a seamstress making blindfolds, or Supermodel, super criminal, super couple made up of mutant giraffes.
But the seamstress making blindfolds, she's into sadomasochism? Is that what?
Well, SM.
SM. Oh, okay.
I mean,
small men.
Small men. small mutants.
Small mutants. Sexy mutants.
Sexy mutants. Right? That's what
no, it's a small media enterprise.
I think we're up to you, huh? What do you think?
Oh, I think it's. I think I'm definitely on the idea of the crazy PR lady. What is that? Yeah, nobody hires.
Okay, welcome that yeah, in for
sounds
her.
More legit.
What do you think, Saran?
Sorry, now I didn't even listen then. I was just thinking about how maybe BDSM stands for Big Dick Small Man.
No, it's a short. It's short for Buddhism.
Oh.
It's a spiritual practice. It is. Bring you closer to God.
Yeah, I know, I know. It's really Eastern inspired.
So you got Splinter's robotic wife, Foot Clan soldier becomes a turtle.
I think it's the private eye, crazy private eye.
Okay. And what do you think, Penny?
I think it's the robot wife.
Robot wife. All right, here's who wrote the answers. The mutant supermodel, super criminal, super couple. That was the house. Mother.
That's a very good one. I like it.
Yeah, it took me a little while to figure out. Anyway, I'm like, all right, what are giraffes? Long legs, long necks. I think I can work with it. Mother of the Ninja Turtle, who was an SM group. We can get to the bottom of what that means because that was written by her. What did you mean by SM groupie?
Oh, yes, I forgot. Yes, BDSM. I think that's what I'm trying
small,
to
medium yeah, BDSM. Yeah. Yeah. A small, medium
no, Buddhist. No, I thought she was referring to like spiritual and Buddhism. I'm sure for that.
Pizza delivery guy, that was Saran.
Oh, yes.
It's cute. Cute.
Splinter's robotic wife, that was Lewis, a.k.a. The House. Point for the house there. The crazy lady PI nobody hired, which her and Saran went for. That was Penny.
Oh,
meaning the correct answer was the former Foot Clan soldier who had a blood transfusion from Leonardo and mutated into a Ninja Turtle and fell in love with Casey Jones. It's really hectic stuff. Isn't that wild?
That's like
what
a
happened?
Whole Wikipedia yeah. entry.
Did that obviously, I don't think that happened in the cartoon I watched, but it must be, that's probably deep comic book lore.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
True. I wasn't even picturing the comic books.
I think because it all started as a comic book, I believe.
Wow.
Apparently it was a real gritty comic book early days.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's why
that's
none
so
of us
weird.
Picked it.
Yeah. That's such a weird idea.
Because they're so goofy
idea.
In the cartoons.
They're Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
I mean, they're turtles. They live in the sewers.
Yeah, they're
so
eating
crazy.
Pizza all the time. Yeah. That's why you would suggest.
Donatello. It might like, be why the... do they all sound like they're from the...
Yeah,
West Coast.
Yeah, that's right.
Cowabunga.
Cowabunga.
There must be a reason for that.
Totally bodacious. Is that them?
That's yeah,
that's Bill and Ted.
Most excellent.
Did you have Ninja Turtles?
What?
When
no.
When you were growing up?
No, I had a turtle and then a small turtle but died. I never watched Ninja Turtles. I watched maybe one episode. Not really interested. Yeah, I don't. I'm not interested in Japanese. Yeah, I didn't grow up with Japanese anime a lot.
But you did grow up in a tiny... what was the population in the mountains of China? Is that right?
Half a million.
Like, tiny.
Tiny.
It's a tiny
it's
one.
So small.
That is so funny. I was reading a bio of yours before and it said a
small
city
town.
In the mountains. Half a million people.
Yeah,
in my head, I'm picturing like, you know...
Yeah, it used to be smaller.
200 people or something.
Yeah. Now it's bigger, 500,000. It used to be like... 300,000.
Oh,
I think,
So it's like Hobart or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe even the whole population of Tasmania.
Yeah, probably.
Tiny little place. All right, after three rounds, scores are Her and Saran on 1 point apiece. The house on 3 points, but down front now on 4 points, it's Penny.
Wow.
Congratulations.
This is unforeseen.
Wow, this is so...
Could not have been previewed.
All right, up to question number four. This one comes from... Kira from Melbourne, and the question is, what is song number three, track three, on the album Dear Love, A Beautiful Discord by The Devil Wears Prada, which was released in 2006? Any of you metalcore fans?
No.
There's a band called The Devil Wears Prada, an American metalcore band from Ohio. You just got to come up with a track name, you know, somewhat interesting, I guess. Interesting enough for someone to have sent it in. Come up with the name of a song that was released in 2006 by the band The Devil Wears Prada. While you're writing your answers, here's a little more info about Jenica. According to Lewis, Jenica isn't the first female turtle. There was a character named Venus de Milo, who was a turtle mutated at the same time as the others, and Splinter just forgot her and left her in the sewers.
Wow.
Whoa.
It's pretty dark.
That is dark. That's the dark, gritty comic books. All right, while you're still writing your answers, let's go for a quick break.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
All right, we're back at the answer in. So here's question four. What is track three on the album Dear Love, A Beautiful Discord by The Devil Wears Prada, released in 2006? Here are your options. Anne Hathaway, You Take My Heart Away. Eye Sockets Full of Piss. River Flow to the East and Sun Sets in the West. Dogs Can Grow Beards All Over. Smash Crash Thrash Bash. Or the last guy to cross me is known as the golf course now because I put 18 holes in him.
Oh, that's so funny.
I think we're back to you, Saran.
Okay. So you said that they were like a death metal band.
A metalcore band, okay. I believe.
Because like, there was a...
I don't know the difference between anything.
Neither do I, but there was a big variation in those answers. Yes.
Well, I think metalcore is like a hybrid of heavy metal and hardcore, maybe.
To me, I can't tell. I'm not a connoisseur.
No, neither.
Me neither.
I'm a casual admirer.
And how does death metal differ from heavy metal?
Well, heavy metal's broader, but death metal is just a more narrow version of it. I think its lyrics are important maybe in death metal, but also the sound.
Okay.
And what's screamo?
Screamo, that's like, I think that's what kind of what it sounds like. It's like emo music where they scream. This is going to be pissing off like metal nerds because I'm not nailing this, but...
Okay. Well, my answer is...
I know black metal's all, you know, they're all very got specific... Some of them are specific about the drum sound. Some are specific about the lyrical content.
Okay.
It can depend on different things.
Okay, cool.
Very niche.
But metalcore, yeah, I think it's like a hybrid of heavy metal and... I'm only guessing that based on the name, really. But anyway, well, Saran, what do you reckon?
The last guy to cross me, they call him the golf course because I put 18 holes in him.
Okay, look that in for Saran.
I love that answer. I just think that's amazing.
Yeah, me too.
Are we?
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I'm interested to know what her set thinks.
Yeah, really? Which is the last one.
What's you want to choose the last one as well, the golf course?
Yeah, the golf course and put like holes in the man, right?
Yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah, I love that one too. Yeah. Always go. Yeah.
You love
it. Sounds like very hardcore.
All right. Well, this is who wrote the answers. Anne Hathaway, You Take My Heart Away. That was Kira, aka The House. Eye Sockets Full of Piss. That was Saran.
Eye Sockets.
I was definitely thinking death metal.
River Flow to the East and Sun Sets in the West. That was her.
Yeah, that was the one there. I was like, is this death metal?
But and also, I like it. It was a bit of a change up from her as well. Because
I know, I'm trying to mess with you guys.
Yeah.
It was very poetic.
Yeah, I know, it's very poetic.
Well, I mean, they've all been poetic.
French blowjob. That's the best poem I've ever read.
I know, it's very
Smash, Crash, Thrash, Bash, another great poem. That was by Penny.
Oh, that's nice. Almost for one.
The last guy to cross me is known as the golf course now because I put 18 holes in him. That was The House, I'm afraid.
No!
And the correct answer was Dogs Can Grow Beards All Over. And the lyrics, I mean, I don't know this band. I don't know them beyond their name. But that sounds like a fun name, but the lyrics are very serious. I'll read the lyrics while you're writing the next answer, but they have nothing to do with dogs being furry. Mm. The first where is Welcome to the War, a Martyr's Challenge. Like it. Feels like it's a big discrepancy between tone of the title and the song. Anyway, which is probably, I imagine, on purpose. So that means, unfortunately for you three, 3 points to the house, which means the house has leapt into the lead with a couple, three rounds to go. Question five comes from Stephen Carter, who's a Kiwi living in Sydney. And the question is, what is the nickname of South African-born New Zealand cricketer Grant Elliott, who played for the Black Caps between 2008 and 2016? I don't think I knew this guy. Saran's a bit of a cricket fan. Either of you into cricket?
No.
Can you hurt?
No, I dropped out after like Shane Warne era.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I've got no idea.
Probably, which would have been around this time. But he only played a couple of tests for New Zealand, so he wasn't a household name or anything.
What's his name again?
His name is Grant Elliott. While you're writing your answers, here's the lyrics to the song Dogs Can Grow Beards All Over. Welcome to the war, a martyr's challenge. Chainsaw brutality, tornado strength. King of the diamond, king of the grave. Lawlessness stains black on whitewashed tombs. We're too strong to compromise. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Dear Lord, deliver me from hypocrisy. And surcease the scarlet desire. Not sure if that's the word. The answers are in for question number five.
Yeah.
What is the nickname of South African-born New Zealand cricketer Grant Elliott? Here are your options. Big Maccas. Cricket McCricket Face. Durban. Mystery Elliot. Harry Javelin. Or Nelson Grant Della. South African-born New Zealand cricketer Grant Elliott. What was his nickname? Big Maccas. Cricket McCricket Face. Durban. Mystery Elliot. Harry Javelin. Nelson Grant Della. Okay. I think we're up to you, Penny. First crack.
I like the one towards the end. Nelson Grant Della.
Okay. That in for Penny. What do you think?
Oh, because he's from South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going for, because it's a nickname. He has to be quick, right? I'm going for Durban.
Yeah.
It was quick, especially how you said it, Matt.
Why did you look so...
Durban.
I don't know, because it was short. I was trying to give it the South African accent, it's hard to do that with such a short word. What do you think, Thren?
Remind me what the first one was.
Big Maccas.
Oh yeah, and remind me what the one after Durban was.
Mystery Elliot.
Okay. There's one about being tall.
Harry Javelin.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to say Harry Javelin.
Okay. That's a good one.
Is that what you meant? I'm like, that's the closest to being tall. Yeah,
does that mean he's tall?
On a Big Maccas, I guess, would be the tall.
Yeah, the two. It felt like Harry Javelin.
That's Harry Javelin. All right.
That's good.
Here's who wrote the answers. Big Maccas, that was her.
Yay! I was messing around.
It's not even Kiwi Maccas.
Oh, but you were just thinking like the...
I just wanted to get it out in my head.
Cricket McCricket Face, that was Stephen, aka The House. Mystery Elliot, that was also The House. There's a bit of fun there. Mystery, Missy. Like Missy Elliot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But his name's Elliot. It's actually really clever, though. Anyway.
it's hard for me. It's such a weird hybrid, Missy Elliot and cricket.
Yeah.
I think you're about to find out...
bedfellows.
There's an even more weird hybrid coming up.
Durban, in brackets, said in South African accent. Well, that was Penny.
Durban. Durban.
I'm like, that's why I was panicking. And you knew why I was panicking because it was your instruction. Hey, why are you...
Oh, you instructed the accent.
Instructed the accent and then said, why were you taking time with that?
Durban.
Durban. Durban.
Yeah, what was that? Did I do it in... It was more Kiwi than... In my head, I'm saying... Grudge is a place to park your car. Which is like the tall man doing Tony Gregg. That's the only South African I can think of. A grudge is just a place to park your car.
Park your car.
Park your car. Durban.
Durban.
Is that closer? How do you say Durban?
I've got no idea.
I thought you nailed it just before.
Durban.
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 Pretoria.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Joburg.
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 I'm over from Joburg.
So what's a real answer?
Well, wait. Penny went for Nelson Grant Della, and that was Seren.
Oh, yeah, that can be true. I know that.
Meaning the correct answer is Hairy Javelin.
Yes!
It's got to be one of the worst nicknames or best nicknames. I'm not
the
sure.
Best.
The best.
The best. Yep.
Why Hairy Javelin?
He's so good. Now I think
about it. Is he hairy? Is he a hairy man?
He's hairy and tall and skinny, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it felt so like a cricket good. Club kind of vibe.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, so good. Yeah, teammates dubbed him that. So that means 2 points for Seren that round, 1 point for Penny.
I almost did go with Big Mac as that.
Oh, my God.
I
did. You are getting left behind.
I know. As a Chinese, I feel like I failed as my test.
Don't worry, triple points in the final round okay. still to come. So
okay.
You're
I have still, to have a one chance to win.
But, yeah, you are at the moment in fourth spot on 1 point. Seren on three, Penny on five, but still just out in front on 6 points. It's the house.
Loser.
Second last question comes from Dane Helmers from Dingley Village. And the question is, what is poor... when you hear the word that was meant to be, you'll be like, oh, that was a mile off. When is... what is Pope... Formosus best known for? What is Pope Formosus best known for? He's a pope from the well old days.
Oh, he's an actual pope.
An actual pope from
okay.
years and like centuries and centuries ago.
Which one specifically?
Do you want me to find out?
Oh, no. Which no, century? No.
He was born in 816.
Oh, wow. This so is a yeah, long time Jesus, ago. Jesus was like fresh in the grave at this point.
Yeah, well, you know, 816 years fresh, I guess.
Fresh.
No, hang on.
Oh, no, that's he halfway. Died at 33. It's pretty much halfway.
Yeah.
Did you say
well,
800? Yeah.
Did you say Jesus?
God. That would be so disrespectful. I have extreme Catholics in my family.
Jesus is rolling in his grave right now. So, yeah, so a pope called Formosus from way back in the 1800s. What's he best known for? And while you're writing those answers, I'll let the listeners know a little bit about the Hairy Javelin. According to Alternative Commentary Collective founder Paul Ford, the collective have been credited with semi-final hero Grant Elliott's Hairy Javelin moniker, but it actually came from within the team. For those who haven't heard the reason behind the name yet, Elliott is both very hairy and very skinny. Wiki lists his other nicknames as Magic and Shunt, which is, yeah, I don't know, Shunt. There's something about Shunt I don't mind. He only played 5 test matches but was handy in one-day internationals at the 2015 World Cup in the semi-final against South Africa, his birth nation. He scored an unbeaten 84 and was man of the match, putting New Zealand into their first ever Cricket World Cup final. He also top scored for New Zealand with 83 in the losing final against Australia. All right, the answers are in for question number 6. What is Pope Formosus best known for? He was a 9th century BCE pimp, owning and running the largest Roman brothel of its time. He was dug up after 9 months after his death so he could be put on trial. He fathered illegitimate children with at least 15 nuns. Along with his mother, Mim, he created the cocktail Mimosa. He was named Pope by accident when someone in the papal conclave farted in quite a big way, and this was mistaken for white smoke.
Oh, my God.
Or he could burp the alphabet on demand. So stupid.
I wonder what the alphabet was back then. It would have been A, B, C, D. What would it have been?
Yeah, it wouldn't have had the... Latin.
It would have been in Latin. The Latin alphabet.
No wonder, yeah. That's
it's impressive.
It's a popularity vote in a lot of ways, getting to the Pope. A popularity vote, but...
Popularity.
I guess it's all that blood of Christ he probably sipping down.
Yeah, so it's amazing that one answer was burping and one was farting. all right. Do you want to have first crack here?
I think it's a newspaper that accidentally named her. Is that the one?
Named Pope by accident?
Yeah.
Okay.
Name it by accident.
Locking that in for her. What do you think, Seren?
I would love it to be the burping the alphabet.
Yep.
But I don't think it's that. I reckon it could be the he had illegitimate children with a number of nuns.
Okay.
But that's Mimosa, right?
No, that the mimosa was the next one.
Oh, can I choose that one too? I thought it's
the illegitimate children one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought they're together.
Oh no,
I thought like, they have children and they name the children mimosa.
All right, so her and Soren going for fathering illegitimate children with nuns. What do you think, Penny? Mm-hmm.
I think it's the one. I think it was a pimp.
Pimp, BCE, wow. The 9th century BCE pimp.
Yeah.
All right. Locking that in for Penny. Here's who wrote the answers. He could burp the alphabet on demand. That was her.
Yay!
Your answers rule.
He was named Pope by accident when someone in the papal conclave farted in quite a big way. That was Soren.
So well, it had to be to go up the chimney.
In quite a big yeah, way.
It had to be a big fart.
That reeks of Wikipedia entry. He farted in quite a big way.
Along with his mother Mim, created the cocktail mimosa. That was the house.
That's very good.
The house also did the big time pimp. Dane, the question writer in particular, got you there. Fathering illegitimate children with nuns, though, that was Penny.
Yeah.
Meaning the correct answer was dug up 9 months after his death so he could be put on trial.
For what? For what crime?
The Pope who came in after him just didn't like him.
Really?
And he said, you know, like, you weren't. This guy wasn't legitimate. How do you answer to this?
Really?
And just his wow. decaying corpse. And they found him guilty.
Did they?
Mm.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Guilty of just being a shit pope, or?
I think it was, I'll explain it in more detail while you're on the next answer, but it was accused of violating canon law and of perjury, among other charges. And he was, found guilty.
Mm.
So that brings us up to the last question. This one's worth triple points. Still anyone's game here. But Penny, probably more so your game than anyone else's, is I think you've now jumped into the lead.
Mm.
There were actually no equal leaders with the house. Penny scored 2 points and the house scored 1 point there. So hers on one, Soren's on three, but Penny and the house both on 7 points. But triple points this round, anyone's game. And the question is, what is the synopsis of the 2012 film Iron Sky?
And that is Iron.
Iron, space, sky. While your answers are being written, here's some more info about Pope Formosus. So he was born in Rome, they think, in 816. Lived till 896. It's a pretty long life. He was only the Pope from 891 to 896. And his posthumous trial is one of the most bizarre incidents in papal history. Apparently, at a Roman synod conducted by Pope Stephen the 6th or 7th, depending on who's counting, political enemies of Formosus had his 9-month-old corpse exhumed, propped up on a throne, and subjected to a mock trial, during which a deacon answered for the corpse. He was accused of violating canon law and of perjury, among other charges. After he was found guilty, his election as Pope was declared invalid, his acts were quashed, and his fingers of consecration were cut off. His corpse was then cast into a grave, but later thrown into the Tiber River. These acts divided Rome politically, provoking an insurrection that resulted in Stephen's imprisonment and his death by strangulation. During his brief 20-day tenure, Pope Theodore II reinstated the ordinations of Formosus and solemnly reburied his body in St. Peter's Basilica. Pope John IX also condemned Stephen's synod, probably saying synod wrong, and he burned his axe. So the guy who dug him up and put him on trial, he ended up getting killed basically for doing it, and a lot of his work was undone.
Oh,
what a hectic time in popery.
This is so consistent with what I know of Catholics. It's a long, wild history of being dramatic.
Would you believe that I grew up Catholic? Very dramatic man.
And refusing to take the plank out of your own eye before taking the speck out of someone else's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good.
Mm.
Is that one of yours?
No, that's biblical.
Did I say that was, I was reading from Britannica then. I don't know if I said that. Just in case anyone thought I was putting that in my own words. I mean, I do talk like that for sure. The answers are in for the final question. What is the synopsis of the movie Iron Sky from 2012? Linda Hamilton plays world-renowned wrestling heel Sky Vladimirovich, a.k.a. Iron Sky. She must wrestle not only with her insecurities about being a boo-worthy villain of the WWWF, Women's World Wrestling Federation, but also with keeping her burgeoning relationship with rival Frida Columbia within the bounds of kayfabe. That's option one. Option two, a team of rebels try to save the people who are detained in a camp where they have to work, study, and live as instructed by the Big Brother. Option three, when grumpy mother Maggie Compton gets mad and throws a steaming iron out the window, little did she know she would unleash crazy weather. In the last moments of World War II, a secret Nazi space program flees to the dark side of the moon. During 70 years of utter secrecy, the Nazis construct a gigantic space fortress with a massive armada of flying saucers. When American astronaut James Washington puts down his lunar lander a bit too close to the secret Nazi base, the moon Führer decides the glorious moment of retaking the Earth has arrived sooner than expected. Then you've got Skye's in trouble. She has a very important presentation, but also a crinkled shirt. There's nothing presentation goers hate more than a crinkled shirt. Can Skye find an iron in time, or will she have to, or will she have to give her talk topless? Rated R18 plus, contains nudity. Or finally, they've put a metal roof on the world. All I can see for miles is iron sky, is the famous quote that kicks off this mind-bending psychological thriller where no one inside the film or watching without knows what's up and what's down. Without spoiling too much, it turns out up is down and down is up, and the iron sky was really just a cast iron floor.
Whoa.
Jeez, wow. That sounds mind-bending. So you've got the World Women's World Wrestling Federation one. Mm. You've got the Big Brother is watching over the rebels who are detained in a camp. Grumpy mother throws an iron out the window, changes the weather, unleashes crazy weather. You've got Moon Hitler coming to attack Earth. You've got the topless woman who can't find an iron shirt, or you got the movie where it turns out everything's upside down.
That sounds like a spoiler.
Yeah, without spoiling too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you're spoiling too much.
Yes.
Like everything. You want to have a crack here, Seren?
But also the other one sounds like a spoiler because it's like, will she find an iron or will she have to...
That's true.
...be topless? Contains nudity. Gives it away. Point. I reckon it is the Moon Hitler.
Moon Hitler? Locking that in for Seren. What do you think, Penny?
I think that it's the... not the wrestling one, the one after that.
Team of Rebels, Big Brother?
Rebels.
Yeah.
Rebels, Big Brother.
Rebels, Big Brother. Yeah. Right for Penny. What do you think, her?
I think it's the wrestling.
Wrestling. All right. Mm-hmm. Locking that in for her. Here's who wrote the answers. The one with the big spoiler, that was the house. The one where the woman can't find an iron, or can she? That's Seren. the one with the grumpy mother who throws an iron out the window and unleashes crazy weather, that was Penny. Mm-hmm. Her went for the one about the Women's World Wrestling Federation. That was Harry, a.k.a. The House. So a point for The House there. Penny went for a team of rebels with Big Brother. That was her.
That's a good one.
And Seren got the correct answer. Moon Nazis.
Moon Nazis.
Yeah, that's good. Should have
thought about the Moon Nazis.
So that means 3 points to her. 3 to 3.
Am I catching up?
All right. Before I count up all the numbers, just very quickly, critics gave this film 41%, audience 37% on Rotten Tomatoes. The famous David Stratton wrote, "The performances are fine and the film, mainly shot in the studios on the Gold Coast, looks terrific most of the time. It's the script that needed more oomph." So, yeah, people didn't love it. Moon Nazis. Final score in fourth place on 4 points. It's Her Huang. In third place on 6 points, it's Seren Jayamana. Meaning equal first place, both on 7 points. It's Penny in the House.
It's a tie.
It's a tie.
Wow. Congrats. Well deserved.
Hurt, before you got to run off, you're off to do a show. Where can people find you?
Come to my social media, Her Huang Comedy. You can find me on all platforms. It's the same handle.
So yeah. Good. I think me and Serena are going to be in Sydney when this comes out. Are you heading up to Sydney or Brisbane or any other festivals?
Brisbane, Sydney. I'm doing my solo show there as well in May.
Go awesome. See her. She's so funny.
So funny.
Yeah, I'm so funny. Come to see me.
Plenty of great clips online. And we filmed your special here at Stupid Old Studios. I mean...
We you know,
collectively.
It's
we.
French. It's French.
Ah, French.
It's French. Oui, oui.
Yes.
Filmed, yes. I love croissant.
Oui, oui, me too.
And Penny, where can we find you?
What do you mean? In life?
What do you want people to follow? Oh, is there something
don't stalk
of your
her.
Work that... Yeah, don't... Not where they can
no,
find
no, but they, no, they. I mean, I'm just in places, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I live here in Melbourne. I have Instagram.
Yep.
Penny Greenhalgh, Penny A. Greenhalgh, and then I'm doing a show at Melbourne Comedy Festival, 3 more nights.
So good. This will be over by the time it comes out.
But I thought that might be the case.
But if they follow you, they'll see. Are you taking it to Sydney or Brisbane?
I don't know. We'll see.
But if they follow you on Instagram, they'll find out.
They will know.
What about you, Saran?
Oh, Melbourne will be done, but we'll be in Sydney and Brisbane with Dryer. It's been so much fun, and I'm looking forward to hitting the northern states.
Yes, me too. So much. Thank you so much for joining us. Oh, first timers, her and Penny absolutely smashed it. Saran also did quite well. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Please give us a 5-star review if you've got time. Why not? Why wouldn't you do that? Maybe tell your friends if you think you know anyone who might enjoy it. Yeah. Cheers for tuning in to Who Knew with Matt Stewart. Now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye.
We started bickering the other day on stage.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
That's cute.
Probably. It's pretty good, I think, to be like 22 shows in.
Oh, yeah?
Across Adelaide and Melbourne.
Wow, yeah. That's a lot of shows.
That's sort of like if you expect to be, that's like 60 years of marriage.
I think so. Yeah, you've really gone through it.
But I always assume that's just play bickering.
It was playful. It was for like. When the neighbours come round to...
What did you bicker about? Who did the laundry?
No, I think before we went on, we were like, oh, let's keep this real tight.
Oh, yeah, no, I was, yeah.
And then we both were sort of...
I was sick last week and my head wasn't quite helping me out there. So our tight first few minutes went for ages.
Like 15 minutes.
You were on stage at the same time?
Yeah, we do like a little warm-up together. Oh. And then I was...
So you both decided we're going to keep this tight.
In my head saying, oh, we should probably start this.
Yeah, and
would trigger going, something.
And then that makes me think,
and something then you tedious.
Bick yeah, maybe.
That's adorable. It's not good. It's not good. That's what it looks like.
Oh, yeah,
those are kind of gross.
So it looks kind of like a stingray or something.
Yeah, flat stingray kind of.
Well, I guess, any culture that has a specifically just like term set aside for women who are single over a certain age doesn't seem like they would have much respect.
For women of a certain age. Yeah. Because what they just want breeders, don't they?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what they're into.
Over the age of 25, can you even still have kids?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's the 17th century, yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
You would be, like, there'd be grandmas that age back then, probably.
Yeah, true.
I went home. I grew up in a little town, and one of the girls in my year in year 9 had a baby. And I was in like a RFS, was doing fire training, and there was a guy there, and I was like, oh, that guy, he's got a face I recognize. And I kept sort of glancing, and I was like, oh, fuck, there's something really familiar about this guy's face. And my mum introduced me to him at the whatever morning tea or whatever. She's like, oh, this is your friend's son. This is a man. He had facial hair. I was introducing myself to a man, being like I knew your mother in primary school. It was so.
Is his mom still alive?
Mm, yeah, she's like 36.
And a great grandmother.
Wow. How many kids she has?
Three.
Okay, that's enough.
Single now though, so she's a thornback.
Yeah, you can return her the thornback lifestyle. I think you can. You'd probably have a special name like Diamond Thornback or something.
No. They should have a medals because they already have kids.
Yeah,
so
that's
retired.
Right. Yes,
you know, retired thornback.
I think you should be a higher ranked thornback for sure.
Yes. Like a Pokemon.
Yeah. Grown to the next stage.
Yeah, the better thornback.
I've learned about Pokemons recently. I don't think I use the correct terminology there. You don't.
Well, I actually don't
know. Evolved.
Grown to the next stage. Look, I'm fitting in.
Pokemon's weird.
All right.
Here's question number three. This one comes from Lewis Foulstone. It says foul like soul. Foulstone, I guess. Sorry. Foul like soul. I'm guessing it's hard with foul. When people give you pronunciations like that. They're assuming that I say that word like they want me to. And I rarely do. But anyway, soul, foal.
It'll be foal.
Foal. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. So maybe
Mama been cooking up there.
Grits. And grits on the side of our pokemoo. I don't even know who I'm offending now. I think because it's not a good accent anywhere.
Every region
of America will be like, geez, he's not quite nailing... the state next door, you know, like one of the states.
It could also be an old version, you know, like it could be Huckleberry Finn era, because I reckon sometimes I listen to archive from the ABC and people speaking with those old Australian accents.
Isn't that amazing?
What do you mean?
Isn't it? That blew my mind the first time I saw one of those videos, because I always thought you get older and you start speaking like that somehow. Right. But no, that's just how... old, like my grandparents' generation always spoke like that.
Yeah.
And the old person accent is soon going to be, hey, how's it going? I'm like, all right, grandpa. but then it was like, oh, hey, dear, yes. And you see footage of like 16-year-old girls going, oh, yes, we're very excited to see the Beatles are coming to town. That was absolutely exciting for us.
Like, what?
It's so weird to see it coming out of a child's mouth.
Oh yes.
We're going to go play.
We thought it was absolutely marvellous. We were terribly excited about the whole thing.
Yes, we got to play in the sand pit, which was an absolute delight. And the... the weather they put on was fantastic.
No, we were delighted.
Absolutely delighted.
Yeah. Barry Humphries.
Yeah.
Hey, this is so annoying, but can I quickly take a phone call?
Please.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun. We all take a phone call now. Oh, sorry, it's not recorded, right? It's
still recording. Connor hears all this. This will go at the end. That was her just yawning out to the ceiling.
I have a big old man yawning. I have lots of air inside me. Trying to get out.
Get out.
Isn't that fascinating?
It's just fascinating to see how the mind of her Huang works. It's been a real insight so far.
it's a good insight. I'm a twisted little mind. Sick bastard. The
twisted mind of her. Yeah.
Like a French bulldog. You have French bulldog.
Yeah, it worked because it's like blowfish, like pufferfish, blowfish, French bulldog, French blowjob. But just somehow it all together made it sound like it could be real.
It could be really real if people don't install blowjob like that.
Give me a blowjob like one of those French girls. Is that a saying?
I don't think so.
No, it's paint me like this. Is it paint me?
Yeah.
French people are connected with lots of sexual activities.
Man.
Like French kiss, French cards, postcards. French postcards.
What are French postcards?
It means porn, like porn books.
Oh.
Pornographic books, I think.
Oh, I don't even say, excuse my French, or someone say that after swearing.
Yeah, I say that in my joke.
It's like it's shorthand for just being blue.
Yes.
Or bleh, as they would say.
Yeah, excuse me, I just give you a fellatio. What is that? Is that an English word?
Fellatio's got to come from French, right? All right, while you're still writing your answers, let's go for a quick break.
Are we having actually a break?
No, well, you know.
Oh, okay.
We can if you want.
No, just kidding.
This has been a very fun episode, guys. I think you're all doing a great job.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm losing. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's not all about winning.
Fuck. Sorry. Yeah. Do you mind? This is just I've got to organize an interview tomorrow.
No worries.
You know, actually, I never win in my life.
You've never won anything.
Best newcomer?
Emma. Yeah, you've won. I was reading your bio before. You're multi-award winning.
That's interesting.
Multi-award nominated.
Yeah, maybe. It's comedy. Okay, then that's comedy.
But that doesn't count.
Before that, I didn't even win lottery at all.
No, I mean, that's pretty normal. I think it's famously a one in multi-million chance. So.
And also, like, I'm a nervous exam, like, test taker. So, whenever taking exams and tests, I just get extremely anxious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm, like, the opposite of good Chinese student.
I quite liked exams.
Really?
Because it was just a set thing. You had a certain amount of time. Everyone had the same. It was homework I found a lot harder.
Wow, maybe autistic.
It was more the discipline and stuff. I'm autistic.
Do you think so?
Saran, it's happening again. People keep diagnosing me this week for some reason.
No, I'm not. I am a little bit. I think people say that to me as well.
I have no idea. But
I need to see a therapist.
Yeah, I think that's probably, if you want someone to diagnose you, I'd say a professional is who you should go to see.
Yeah, but I think it's okay, autism. You don't have to have a label on yourself.
Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with anything. I think being
that's
aware
like
of...
functioning.
Yeah, of course, being aware of anything means that you can, you know, you're prepared.
You just like you to sit there.
You understand. I always...
Yeah.
When I first realized that hangovers led to feeling a bit down...
Yeah.
That made a feeling like the second day hangover, you're like, I'm so depressed and I don't know why. And now knowing it, you're like, well, I understand why now. It's my own fault.
Right. I don't feel depressed though.
Don't you? You don't get that?
I just don't, like, I think hangover is more how you feel physically.
Yes. I think that's headache. What I always thought as well. And then I just started noticing. But anyway, it's helped me cut down on drinking because I've realized that it's not worth.
It's definitely helpful to not drink.
I'm like drinking. I'm always like,
oh my god!
Sorry,
I'm usually willing to.
I have five shows to do, Sharon.
Take
just
this
kidding.
Outside, man. All right.
There's a lady here.
It's you know what killed me was that gin. Mm. I haven't recovered since.
Oh my god! I bought a bottle of Japanese gin for the Asian roast battle.
Right.
I finished it.
I was going to say, where was...
We all finished. It's great. I loved it.
Where was mine from?
Sorry, the finished
Australasia?
There.
That was the night we cancelled the show.
Yeah, I was sick.
It was a good show.
Yeah, it was so fun.
I bet, yeah.
It was really dismissed by the festival, though. No promotion whatsoever. It was so
yeah,
fun.
Well, that's interesting, because it's obviously...
They don't want to be too out loud that we're taking over, so...
But now they saw how successful it was.
Is it? Do you reckon they don't even have lots of people turned up?
But what? I mean, the only reason they'd have it on there is because they believe in it to some degree, surely.
Yeah, that's true.
Like they could easily just not have it. But I think the roast thing's never really caught on in Australia.
Yeah.
Because it's a very American thing to do. It's not Aussie.
It is. It's an interesting thing, but
so taking spotlight and just like making each other feel shit about yourself, and then that's a very American thing to do.
Yeah, because we're tall puppy. It's almost funnier to to big people up,
right? Like Americans love that, and then they think that's the way they can enhance their friendship, right? Like I think the roast without humor is just like Chinese.
To me, it feels like it's. Somehow it's like more natural for it. Like that's just the average Australian day is like roasting your mates. So maybe that's why it doesn't work on stage as much. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
is
yeah,
it,
yeah.
Like the stereotypical American thing is you're like overly, you're very confident and flattering about yourself and others. So it's funny to
Yeah.
To subvert that on stage, yeah. I guess, whereas...
That's what I meant. We should be complimenting each other. Yeah.
I was just over-explaining what you said. Well, mainly because I didn't hear it, but I agree then. That is funny. You should use it. Still get that at every family thing I go to. You get that?
What?
You'll probably use that. Like when someone will say some of the most mundane thing.
Oh, you can use that on stage.
Yeah, you could probably use that on stage. Oh, we better be careful. We'll probably use that on stage.
Put that in one of your little skits.
No, I promise I won't.
My neighbour, his name is Rouchy. He's a farmer.
That's a great name.
And
Wait, does that mean you live next to a farm?
Oh, well, I grew up on a farm.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like my neighbour who grew up with my dad kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they're both farmers and they live on farms next door to each other.
Sick.
And he goes, and he goes, what's a sex shop and Hungry Jack's got in common?
Oh.
Something about HJs? Head jobs?
Hand jobs.
But I think they're full of fake meat.
Oh, that's so funny.
It was topical because, you know, Hungry Jack's had just got a vegan burger.
Okay, yeah.
He's like, you can use that. Why don't you give that to your mate, Husey? That's what he said. Why don't you give that to your mate, Husey?
That is good. Did you give... I think I saw Husey use that in the gala, didn't you? Fake meat. Yeah, I'm like, that's the last thing I would have thought about Hungry Jack's being full of.
Meat.
You can use that. That's so funny. Love it.
You're going straight to Whoppers.
Yeah.
Surely. Whoppers.
What's the misdirection that makes that makes it work?
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
I said it wrong.
But also, I think that
no, you're giving him too much credit. If
no,
you
it could have been maybe the line was like the big Whoppers are full of fake meat. Maybe that's.
But I also think that's closer to a joke than anything anyone's ever said that about to me. You know, I'll be like, I don't even understand. How much context do I have to give an audience before your quip there makes any sense at all? Like, they need to know so much backstory about your relationship with your cousin or something. Neither of those people are known by the audience. How much work do I have to do? And the payoff isn't really there.
The audience needs to have lived both of our lives.
To find it mildly amusing. Yeah.
But you say if you're from Tassie, they would get it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's true. That's shorthand, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very quick.
They're very quick down there. They're very savvy. Is that what you mean? Very savvy.
How many listeners do you have in Tasmania?
We got a few.
Oh, yeah.
Or Alberta, Canada.
Probably a similar amount to Tasmania.
No, if you say like, me and my cousin from Alberta, Canada, and they were like, oh, I got it.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, alienating a few different regions.
Is there a province in China that's the equivalent?
I don't know. Since Chairman Mao comes, he banned. Yeah. Among many things he banned, that thing he banned as well.
Okay.
They were all like, I can't.
He banned cousins.
Yeah, he banned cousins.
Jeez. Shelbyville in America, I think.
He doesn't want everyone else to have fun.
Was he the... himself. Yeah. But he does still have fun with his cousins.
I don't know.
Isn't that always the way?
Yeah, it's always with leaders like that. He has so many concubines, mistress, you know, and he's telling everyone else to be, you know, loyal to your family.
Right.
So it's very like that.
Well, is it? I mean, what are we talking about? The same thing because the cousins thing. Is that not being loyal to your family?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's against Chinese tradition. They're normally keeping the family. They wanted to keep it in a family. That's how you keep your blood pure.
Wow. Sort
of like the royal,
family.
Royal family
yes.
style.
Yes.
Yes.
And as time's gone on, we've realized that the pure bloodline is probably not the ideal way to go about it.
I know. I can tell from all the French paintings.
Mm.
The jawless. Yeah. What are they? The Habsburgs.
Yeah.
The
Habsburg. No idea, but they look really long. Like a Jenny's long leg.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.